be continuing our study today, brethren, in the sixth volume. We are on page 277 from the Bible coming out of the question sheet for all of us that might be helpful in guiding our thoughts for today. The study we had 2 weeks ago ended on the second paragraph, which begins with, "But is there no ordination?" Were there any questions left over from 2 weeks ago, or any comments that the brother would like to make at this time? Ms. Helena?
Yes. I have just one quick question. I don't want to call on the study, but in the very first paragraph, it says, the term elders, that's on page 276.
Okay.
The term elders, as seen in the text, includes evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets, or public exponents. Where did Brother Russell get that explanation of the word elders? I looked it up in the Strong's. I really couldn't find anything that broad in the elders.
Thank you. The question is, back on page 276, in the second sentence, the term elders is seen in this text includes evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets, or public exponents. What do the brethren have to say about the comments as to where Brother Russell came up with the definition for elders? This broad view of the definition of elders. Brother Walker?
Brother Russell states that this was Ephesians 4:11, translated into the conditions of our day, and therefore he felt that those that were apostles, teachers, prophets, evangelists, as mentioned in Ephesians 4:11, would be the elders, especially in that harvest that Brother Russell had charge of, the 80 pilgrims that were moving around the country 800,000 miles a year, perhaps a million or more when you take in the weekend warriors, the local elders that were doing pilgrim service. On a weekend basis, they were filling roles of various kinds. Some of them were evangelists. Some were pastors of small congregations that were just learning the truth. Teachers to every assembly. And so these elders were fulfilling whatever role was assigned to them, as is mentioned in page 474 of volume 6. Each one are fully commissioned of the Lord to preach His word according to their talents and opportunities, and fully ordained also to perform any service or ministry of which they are capable to Him and the members of His body, and in His name to others.
Okay, could you just read Ephesians 4:11 then, that's the scripture to quote it?
Yes,
you'd like to have a
read your thought there.
Any other comments to it? Brother Dan?
Much the same, and I think I don't know what agreement was to do with the term elders in that particular verse, but I think it's simply bringing to our attention that the church did have a part in using brethren for their services and for the edifying of the body of Christ, but this is all a part of God's arrangement. And I think that scripture that God has brought our attention to the basis for. Understanding God intended it, that it should be that way, and each then according to the capacity or qualifications we would have, would be either one of them or sell one of them.
Thank you. Brother Paul.
Ephesians 4:11 reads, and He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors. And teachers, we would better read it this way. And He gave to some apostles, and He gave to some prophets, and to some evangelists, and to some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For how long? Until we all come in the unity of faith and of the acknowledgement of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the stature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Thank you. Are there any other thoughts on this question? Brother Ed?
I don't think that unless you know that there was a variety that the Lord provided, that is, to establish his church. Now, I can speak for myself, when I was a boy. And of course, if you read in the reference, we can read, you know, when the public meeting was held, why the hall was filled to capacity and people stood outside just so they could hear the speaker speak. So apparently, that would be a topic of public exponent. Now, I remember in one in particular we had, and of course, I remember the days when we had a public meeting every Sunday, and the hall was filled to capacity and people stood outside just so they could hear. But if it attracts such attention, the message must be good and must be well presented. And I still remember this one particular speaker, it was almost impossible not to be captivated by him. Unbelievable that a human being could speak so well and so captivating and so interesting as this particular elder did. And of course, the results were in the early days of the harvest, he gathered the Lord's people together. Now, that was one point. Now, another point is you have to have a pastor to nourish those that have been captivated and brought to the truth. Of course, the evangelist and each one of them plays a particular part of the. Here we see that the Lord used a variety of different ones, that is, for the building of his church. So we see the talents that are not in every individual. But I'll never forget, you know, listening to this particular brother. And everybody would listen with eyes open and mouth open, taking in what he had to say. Now, of course, we had other speakers, and that's just what everybody could see. And not saying that those speakers were good, but I know one brother in particular, the thought he was going to bring out was genuine, but because of his soft voice, it was very hard to keep away, you know, but I couldn't help, you know, because I knew that he brought out a really wonderful gem. So you see the Lord used variety, that is, he ordained or chose, now as we study previously, the meaning of the Greek word, Hieroponeo and the family now, which is translated into English ordained, and it also has the same other word in conjunction with the ordained or chosen or anointed. And the specific thought was for a purpose, and the purpose of the learned from Isaiah 61st chapter there. We are all anointed. We have all the responsibility to preach the gospel, but to serve the church, the elders, they have special gifts. And amongst them, there was the bishop, and out here, and the walker.
Yes, so the elders had a variety of roles to play.
I have a little problem. Now, maybe somebody can help me out. When you read the scripture at the top of the page, it says, and when they have ordained them elders in every church and have prayed fast and they commend them to the Lord. Now, Brother Russell explained to the elders in this verse is what we consider voting for our elders, this hieroponeo. Well, when I'm considering my elders, when I vote for
Now, these classifications that he's speaking here in that verse that Brother Walter referred to in the decision, should these qualifications be in our elders? It seems as though, now, apostles, that's separate and distinct. Prophets, I don't think we have any prophets amongst us that I know of. Evangelists, that is supposed to be, again, quieted down. And some pastors, you know, we have the one pastor. And teachers, and then I think the correct translation for that is helpers more than teachers. So, I don't know, I'm just a little confused. I don't know how that scripture really fits into what Brother Russell says here as the elders should be. And yet, these are the elders that we should raise our hand for. I don't know if you understand my dilemma.
I think we do. Brother Brian?
I want to back, think of the elders as the pastor saying that all of these various types, the evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so forth, they are all elders, but not all elders are all of these things. I think if we look at it from that standpoint, then certainly it's the only way we could, because certainly not all the elders present today are apostles. In fact, those 12 have passed long ago. So that, that designation, of course, has passed away with the apostles.
It's not a list of qualifications for an elder.
Right.
Either.
This is what elders have been and are, or are, you know, not all combined at one time, at the present time, but
okay.
Over the years, there have been this classification of elders.
Thank you. Can I hand up another card?
Yeah, I was just going to ask that the apostles were especially gifted. He could do probably fill out, fill in every one of these qualifications because of their gifts as we teach the Holy Spirit directly. And of course, we know that they were miracles, they were evangelists, they were prophets also to some degree. And so they fill in all of these
requirements. Thank you. Brother, Sister Ann first.
There's an explanation on page 239 in the scripture, and the thoughts have been expressed by the Reverend.
Volume 6?
Yes, Volume 6.
Thank you. Wow, that's page 239. Is
yes.
There a best if you might read real quick?
Well, when you speak of that he gave some apostles and so forth, it was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, preparing for the glorious ministry of service in the millennial kingdom, for the edifying, for the building up. And so we see that the various it's just different branches of service.
Right. I see the whole paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good explanation of it. Brother Walter?
Look carefully at the sentence that Brother Russell called for attention.
On page 276. Thank you.
The term elder, as seen in the text, includes evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets or public exponents. Hence, it is important that we learn what is meant by the term ordained. Notice that Brother Russell, in the sentence, does not say apostles. He recognized that there were the 12 apostles. None of the elders who filled the role of the apostles, although, in writing Ephesians 4 and 11, the apostles recognized that in that day, to the church, the apostles were given to some. But Brother Russell did not include apostles in the sentence, but he did state the various other roles that elders played. Evangelist, you remember Brother Donald? He was one of the last of the orators or the evangelists in the truth movement. Apparently the Lord raised him up, a man with only a fourth grade education, to be able to give public talks in such a marvelous manner that he captivated audiences for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. And every elder in a congregation that feels a kinship or a responsibility for that flock is really a pastor for that flock. Likewise, every elder that leads a study in which he sees comprehension on the part of those in the audience, and they just like a light bulb being turned on, and somebody says, "Ah, I never saw that before," takes great delight in the fact that in some respect, his teaching service has done this to those in the congregation. And the word prophet really does mean that he's going to foretell what is happening. Brother Russell, here, that is a public exponent. There are some elders that have the gift of public exponents, even more than a public. And so all of these are not found in any one elder, either as an entity, not qualification. But these are duties that elders are called upon to do, sometimes on the spur of the moment, sometimes at a moment's notice. But then they rely on the inner strength that is given them, not only through the ordination of the Holy Spirit, as is spoken of on page 474 of Volume 6, but also they have the additional strength and the help of the backing of their brethren, the ordination that is given to them by the Ephesians.
Right, and that's why I've got the term elder includes those items. Very good. Thank you, Selena. That's a sufficient discussion on our question. We'd like to go into our question we have, or our study that we have outlined for us today. Although our study begins at the second paragraph of 277, the sentence begins with, but is there? It's really continuing from the paragraph before, although we have discussed the paragraph before. Yes, Dale?
I wonder if I might invite you to take your coat off. Many of us are sitting on the fan.
I'll second that.
I'm
going to need any
objections.
Thank you. Although the paragraph is, we're starting with but, we want to read the paragraph before. And we did discuss the paragraph before, the paragraph that begins evidently. We did discuss that one 2 weeks ago, but we'd just like to read that one and then continue with our paragraph for today. So we'd like to read 4 paragraphs, beginning with evidently. Sister Pauline, could you please read evidently? And then Sister Josephine, could you read that? What is there? Sister Betsy, please read the word ordained. And then the last paragraph, could you still read this text?
Evidently, the Holy Spirit, some of the apostles, subsequent tours, were without the vocal support of the Antioch Church. Primitive church regulations left all priests to exercise their talents and stewardship according to their own constitution. The Ephesian congregation could accept or decline the services of apostles, even as a special representative, and the apostles could accept or reject such engagements, each exercising his own liberty of conscience. But is there no ordination of elders in public connection in the New Testament other than with an election? Is there nothing signifying to give authority or permission to preach as soon as we're ordained in condemning you to all denominations in connection with life-sustaining and ordaining elders, teachers, and so forth? We will examine and see this question.
The word ordained in respect to elders is used in one other place. It is the translation of the Greek word, namely, kathedrine, which signifies to place or set down, yeah, to place down, long. The word occurs in Titus 1:5. Then in order the things that we are wanting and for new elders of every city, as I have appointed thee, that is, as I ordain with thy service, as I give thee charge. On the basis of this text seems to imply that Titus was empowered to appoint these elders, regardless of the wishes of the congregation, church or preacher. And it is on this view that the Episcopal theory of church order rests. Catholics, Episcopalians, Methodists, Episcopal, all claim for their bishops as an apostolic authority reset to place or appoint elders for the congregation without stretching forth of the hand or vote of the church. This text is the rule of this congregation, but again, the matter of this support, the email is the last model, and I give this time, and the fact that the apostles surely not this type of time, or instructing the greater place, and what truly is the apostle in this manner. The account of the apostles and the teachers, I do translate the third scripture, and when they have elected them elders, I assure
Thank you. We have that one scripture, Titus 1:5. Jim Chucker, if you could take that, please. We saw in the paragraph that we discussed 2 weeks ago that since the primitive church could accept or decline the service of the apostles, we did discuss that, come to question number one, is there no ordination? And then along with that is, what does ordination mean on the surface? What is the nominal system on the surface feel that ordination means? Right. And that's what we see is the serpent answer for ordination. And we see that a lot of the novel systems also believe in this apostolic authority for the profession of the apostles. I know that there's a lot of groups that feel that the apostles have been succeeded. Of course, the Catholics feel that the popes are, from my understanding, that the popes are apostles to this day. And with that kind of an understanding, they would also agree with the Ephesian scripture, which Brother Walter quoted, applying that to today, that there are apostles today. I know that there's the Mormon group, for example, each Mormon has to have a prophecy. And so a lot of them, the Mormons would then agree with that term in the Ephesians also. So those are some of the things which the other systems are looking at. But what is the proper understanding of ordained? That's question number two. What's the proper understanding of ordained? Okay, that's the actual mechanics of electing. Are there any other comments on that? Start again.
I think we're going to be also in these studies in our past election that they said scripture from John 15:16 was cited, I have chosen you and ordained you. So this is what the Lord said of the apostles. So that ordination was a different Greek word though, and it was from the Father and or the Son. And it was their selection of the apostles as their representatives. So it was a special ordination. I think where we're studying today is the fact that even though they have this special ordination from the Father and the Son, that it still did not authorize them to speak to all the churches on it, the churches regarding the heaven. So I think the ordination then of the church is a different Greek word, which is the stretching forth of the hand. And as far as the electing of class servants, or I would say, say even as far as having the apostles speak to them, it would be by a special force in the hand too. But even though they had, let's say, God accepting their rule, they still did not, or what you might say, demand that their service be recognized or accepted. It is still a church responsibility
That's right. To summarize a lot of the points that we've had in the past and also some other items that will be coming up later on today, explaining how the churches still had to accept, and that's what we had from our first paragraph of page 277, that they had to still accept the elders, that they could still be forced on them. Do we have the scripture, please? Titus 1:5.
For this cause, lest I be in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanted, and ordain elders in every city that I have appointed me. And then the thought that the brother also brought out is, as I had appointed thee, means that in the order that I gave to thee, which I think was instructed in that there should be a showing of hand, and even in the selection process, in the ordination of the elders by the church. I think that's one of the differences in the two ordinations. One ordination really is by the church as a whole in ordaining who they choose to be their leaders. Then there's another ordination which comes from God, for Jesus, that is in the election, or in their election of apostles as given to different ordination, but two are both, the both are used as ordination, but by whom is the other?
That scripture is kind of talking about the two different ways we're looking at it. On the surface, the scripture first says that I have ordained or I have set in place. But on the surface, we would think that that means that an elder is assigned a place. Reading on the scripture, as it finishes up saying, as I gave thee charge, which was in the same manner in which the apostles reacted to. So you have to not just take the first part of that scripture, you have to read the entire thought. Any other points or comments on this? Yes, Brother
Ed. I remember reading a recent, I think it was somewhere from 1906. There was one brother who was an elder, and he felt that he was ordained of God. And hence, he insisted that he rule the congregation. And so the congregation wrote to Brother Russell. And of course he did also, because from the earlier statement that Brother Russell made about ordination, that is the ordination of God. But then later on, Brother Russell had quite a time explaining to this brother the importance of the election of stretching out the hand. Now, this was a very capable brother, well known, but apparently the congregation got tired of just walking around and ruining them, and so they began to complain. They didn't elect him, and he refused to step down because he felt that he was ordained of God. So you see how important it is sometimes that you get the wrong impression. Now, you see, Brother Russell, he was had an ordination of God, and he was also ordained pastor of over 1,200 congregations. But we haven't seen anything like that since. And so it is very important that we keep in mind what the word ordination means, and no matter how capable and how brilliant and smart and how well we know the truth, we have to submit to the Lord's arrangement and get the proper understanding of what is meant by ordination. And of course, the elder should be ordained or chosen by the stretching point of the hand that was commanded. So I was really surprised to read that. That's why I told them. Nevertheless, there it was.
Doesn't happen. Brother Russell does speak about this. In fact, we'll be seeing that also in our question number 8 too. That's just the case that we'll be discussing. I think you'd like to move on and read a couple more paragraphs. Two more. Sister Dallin, can you read the next one? And that is No Doubt. And then one more after that, Carolyn.
No doubt the apostle's advice and the advice of Titus, who is justly commended to the brethren and faithful minister of the truth, were now only desired to flock by the brethren and very generally followed. Nevertheless, the apostle and all who followed one step sought to place responsibility where God placed it on the ecclesial, whose concern should be to try the spirit, teaching the teachers, whether they be of God. If any speak not according to his word, it is because there is no light in them. And from such turn away, the apostle advises. They are not to boast of such, nor of any man suspecting the secret hours of the soul.
In any event, the concurrence of the occasion would be necessary, whether expressed by both as stated or not. For suppose the Titus had appointed elders not congenial to the brethren, how long would peace have prevailed? How much pastoral or other service would such an elder obnoxious to the sentiments of the church conduct?
Thank you. Question number 3. We saw the example of the apostles chose ministers. Question 3 reads, even though the apostles did choose ministers that were desired by the brethren, who was given the responsibility of these ministers and by what authority? We have different choices here. Who would have the responsibility of these ministers? The apostles appointed them, the ministers themselves, or the class? Basically, we're asking. Question
remember these ministers were chosen by the apostles as people that were desired, as brethren that were desired by the classes themselves. So who is given the final responsibility for ministry?
Ecclesia?
That's right, the Ecclesia. And that's what we have question number four. Why is it referring to the Ecclesia necessary? Oh, sorry, Brother Brian?
You could look at the recommendation of the apostles of the nomination of sorts and the election satisfied the class itself. For example, if the elder or the apostle was well aware of the brother's qualifications and had some good sound spiritual advice to the friends in suggesting that such one be elected an elder, then that could be considered much the same as our nominations are today amongst the friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Are there any other comments on what Brian answered with a little bit of questions 3 and 4? Yes, Brother Jeff.
Well, I had a question. I was wondering if anybody knew how in Revelation they chose the pilgrims were, re-elected as elders, whatever. Was the church Allegheny, or how was it they were in the
church? How were the pilgrims chosen? Sure. And did they have a home with
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any comments on that? Brian?
I believe that Pilgrim Brethren were brethren who were elders already in their home class, and they weren't all from Allegheny. There were several brethren, well, it depended on what time, of course, in the period of Brother Upton's ministry, but I know there were brethren who were more or less stationed in the Pacific Northwest and some in the Midwest, some in the East Coast states, Rhode Island, basically around where they lived. And they went out amongst the area, or they would also take extension trips to do their work of witnessing and also to the world and to the brethren under the auspices of the International Bible Students Association, the Watchtower Bible Tract Society.
But they were elders first.
They were all elders, yes. They were appointed by Brother Russell to serve as pilgrims, but they weren't appointed as elders by Brother Russell.
Thank you. So it seemed to follow along the lines of some of the preceding paragraphs we talked about also.
I think that was true, that the elders that served the pilgrims in Brother Russell's day. But let's take an example that we know of from 1932 on. And as I mentioned, Brother Zingler. Brother Zingler really had a triple party coordination. He was an elder in the class of Sagamore. He had the ordination of the Holy Spirit. And then, when the organization appointed him to represent them on the road from city to city, he also had a third ordination or appointment, as it were. And I'm sure that this was true with most of the pilgrims in Brother Russell's day. Not only were they elders to begin with in their home class, when their talents were recognized, they were also given the third, or of course, the first one is of the Holy Spirit, as we had mentioned on page 474, volume 6. The second is the Holy Spirit, the third of the Watchtower Bible Tract Society. They were appointed to be pilgrims. So you must bear in mind there's probably a third ordination there.
Any other
points
on
the next
question?
Bringing it down to our day that we're familiar with, I think probably Pilgrim Brethren that were traveling under the dawn auspices, I believe that they were all elected elders in the Pilgrim Ecclesia, which is the home ecclesia of traveling from the dawn. So I think probably, I would probably imagine that situation is somewhat the same. Rather than being children on a full-time basis, their home ecclesia has probably been a Methodist home, and they probably were re-elected there. But I recall at one time, in the Detroit class, had elected to go to San Baker as an elder, even though he was in Toronto, because he was a traveling pilgrim. There was really no class in Toronto that could elect him, but to give him an ordination of an ecclesia that was familiar with him, I think this is the reason for that, which would, we felt there's nothing improper. Roger later on, when he became more or less a full time elder, he was probably elected to fly to Brooklyn to see him. But in some of his earlier years, I think he had that arrangement. But basically, it's gone that there are brethren that can recognize your talents and who elect you to the office of an elder appointed by raising a hand. Wherever they complete their arrangements might be as opposed to the social.
Thank you. Satisfactory, Brother Joe? I'm sorry, is there a hand over here?
I just said mentioned that Brother Russell was elected elder and upwards of 1,200 classes at any one time during his ministry. So if you're going to add up ordinations, he has quite a few. I think that all the Pilgrim Brethren were considered as elders by all the classes, but not necessarily formally elected as such. They're certainly not expected to perform weekly service in each class, as our elders are today.
Thank you. The paragraph also speaks about something, which is answer for question number 4. Why is concurrence of the ecclesia necessary? It's really at the end of that paragraph. I'm looking. Why is the concurrence of the ecclesia necessary for an elder?
If concurrence means agreement, which it does, then of course that there must be agreement to have harmony.
Right.
Of course, there will be some who will not agree, but the majority in this case is agreement accepted for both election. Therefore, to maintain that harmony, there must be agreement.
See if we can read the last 4 paragraphs under the subtopic, see if we can get a rounded out picture of the entire subheaded coordination of elders. We'd like to begin to discuss the paragraph beginning with priestcraft. Is there a hand picture? We can read that paragraph. Helena Nowalowski, we can read the paragraph after that. Josephine, we can read the paragraph after that. Oh, sorry. Jane, can you read the next paragraph? And Mr. Helen Collective, could you read the final one? Oh, I'm sorry. It's one long one. I'm sorry. Fine, we accept the read. Thank you. Please read.
Priestcraft and not the teachings of our Lord and his 12 apostles is responsible for the division of the saints into 2 classes. The church seeks the Lord and open God's heritage in every way possible, proportionately to the density of the ignorance prevailing in any congregation. The Lord and the apostles recognize not the elders but the church, the ecclesia, as the body of Christ, and whatever dignity or honor attaches to faithful elders and servants of the Lord and the church does not vary their recognition of themselves or their recognition by other elders. The congregation choosing must recognize their Christian graces and abilities in the light of God's word, else it can grant them no such thing, standing or honor. No elder, therefore, has any authority by self-appointment. Indeed, for this division from the church, the body of Christ, and to make himself any judgment superior to the whole is first-class evidence that such a brother is not in the proper attitude to be recognized as an elder. Humility and recognition of the oneness of the ecclesia of the Lord's body being the prime essential to such a service.
Nor should any brother assume public duties in the church as leader, representative, and so forth, without an election, even though assured that there is no question respecting his acceptability. The scriptural method of ordaining elders in all the churches is by congregational election, by stretching forth the hand in a vote. To insist on such an election before serving is to follow scriptural order. It fortifies the elder and additionally reminds the ecclesia of its duties and responsibilities. abilities as appointees of the elders in the Lord's name and spirit, as expressing God's choice, God's will. Additionally, this scriptural arrangement interests the members of the ecclesia in all the words and deeds of the elders as its servants and representatives. It opposes the too prevalent idea that the elders own and rule the congregation, and puts an end to their thinking of them and speaking of them as my people, rather than as the Lord's people whom I serve.
Why are not these matters so clearly scriptural, more general and discerning set forth? Because human nature is pleased to have honor and preferment, and falls readily into wrong conditions favorable to these. Because they have been popular for 17 centuries, because the people yield to these conditions and prefer them to the liberties wherewith Christ makes free. Then too, many have felt so confident that the custom of Babylon must be right that they have never studied the word of the Lord on the subject.
Thank you. In the first paragraph, we had a sentence that is proportionally to the density of the ignorance prevailing. Someone explain the word density.
I don't know if I'll give a scientific explanation. Molecular construction of an object, and if some is dense and if some is sparse, it means that if an object were to be pushed through that a dense object, it would almost be impossible. But one that would be just the opposite, it would probably just not go through. And I think what it's saying here is that if people are not subject to acceptability of discussion or let's say teaching concerning the true expression of some subject here, or at least in this case the election of Prime Service, or at least let's say Elder George, nothing is going to persuade them. He has to be acceptable to receive instruction from divine so that he can evaluate things correctly and make the necessary changes according to that instruction.
My feather pillow is very fluffy and I can conform the shape of it, but an iron block is hard to change the shape. Something can't be done. Thank you. Good definition is also very well the way you related it to the study. Question number five, what was responsible for the division of clergy and laity?
Well, I
mean, and priestcraft is those taking charge over the other ones. I don't know if there's any other comments on that. But the question six is, who does the Lord recognize though? The elder or the ecclesia?
The ecclesia.
The ecclesia, that's different than I think a lot of the nominalists picture something like this or view something like this. A lot of the nominalists when you go to your service on Sunday because that's required of you, and you know what it is that the one in front tells you, and he's basically responsible for teaching you. But it's the priest or whatever it is in their group, they feel is the one that's bringing them to heaven or whatever. But yet that's not where the responsibility really lies, or really lies. It lies with the ecclesia itself. Question 7. Why can't an elder be appointed to an ecclesia if that elder is not known by the ecclesia? We have this, I think, happened a lot of times, or actually said we have that, but in the world it's happened. There are elders that are appointed to certain church buildings or whatever. Why isn't that the way it should be done? Brother Jim?
I think the ecclesia has no knowledge upon which to make a judgment as to whether or not the person is qualified to be an elder or not.
Yeah.
And therefore, you just can't make a decision.
Very good point. Of course, we know that the decision can be made by the ecclesia. A lot of these other churches don't know that. Or don't exercise that privilege.
We'll go back to the word ordained, which has as its definition a word to convey. investment to put into the code for certain responsibilities. It's also the root word of the word investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So before one can vote, we must investigate on how much he's going to vote.
Yeah. Also, Brother Russell suggests that when you see there's an individual that comes and lives in your ecclesia, that that individual and also the congregation get to know him before they elect him. They give a specification between 6 months to a year before nominating him as a deacon or a
nominee. Thank you.
But also, you know, in the ecclesia that you have been serving regularly, on a potential basis where an elder has moved into the area from a distant point, presented himself to the brethren, he says, well, here I am, I'm ready to be your elder. Well, this was a very awkward situation. The brethren didn't want to hurt him, but they politely declined. I just on his basis that they really didn't know him. Some of the brethren on the west coast knew him, but these brethren didn't know him at all. And so as a consequence, they just demurred and politely declined to let him know. The result was that he waited a few weeks, and when he saw that the eldership was not forthcoming, he became hurt and he turned back to the West Coast area. The Lord took care of him.
Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with him, but the brother had that right to get to know him first, which is what our question is. Why can't anyone assume the duties of the church as leaders? Brother Ed pointed on this one already.
Well, the qualifications are in the
scriptures,
and that's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Why do many churches not follow these rules with respect to elders?
A variety of reasons. One reason is the man always feels that we have better ways of doing things than what the way you've got. So, men decided they wanted to do it a different way. We also, at this time, we have long traditions of it always of it being done that way in many nominal churches. We can even recall back when, not personally, we can recall in the scriptures where it speaks of how the children of Israel didn't want the theocracy like that the guy had set up for them. They wanted to have a king like all the other countries. So they. It was fashionable, as we would call it today, or it was the mode of things. And we see that's very common that, I don't know, peer pressure would be appropriate in this case, but it's really wanting to do things like everyone else does. So there could be a lot of reasons. It's kind of one single reason, other than people don't recognize that God's way is better than man's way.
Thank you. Well, that's probably, I think we finished this subtopic.
I think too that they were probably least control over their territory, and I think that there would be a lot of turmoil if they didn't have this life in this way where they're appointed in their position to be able to control what they thought and be there for you.
Yes, thank you. We've read the entire subtopic, and I think you can see the entire topic as a whole. If the brethren desire any further comments on this, we can continue this over the next week. If not, I think that we have covered this. Well, if there's no request to continue this discussion, we will pick up next week, starting at page 280, beginning with the period of eldership. Okay, that's where we will begin then next week. Thank you for your comments. I think it helped out a lot. Does someone have any selections for our closing hymn? 136. Thank you. Next hymn, 136. Rising on the last verse. Three verses. From the point, if you please, we'll just close the prayer. I don't know if there's any announcements. I don't see anything in the back book table. Are there any announcements that we made this time?
Okay,
thank you. Oh, Brother Ryan?
Christian Levin Green from Brother Sister Fry and Chamberlain.
Thank you. 136.